Good afternoon. My name is Ken McDermott-Rowe. I'm one of the hosts of In Context, the WPKN's live public affairs call-in show. I'm here with my fellow host, Gus Cantavaro.
Hi, everybody.
And behind the boards doing double duty is Marshawn McDermott-Rowe, our military affairs commentator and engineer.
Afternoon, everyone.
At today's show, we're going to take a look at a program that we some issues that we've been covering recently, actually for the last couple of years now, chemtrails. That chemtrails issue is one that we discussed with G. Edward Griffin and with filmmaker Michael Murphy, who together produced the film What in the World Are They Spraying? And we recently recorded an interview with filmmaker Michael Murphy about his new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying?, which we're going to play for you in just a moment. But before we do, Gus, could you give the audience a little background on the issue of chemtrails?
Sure. We covered the issue of chemtrails when we had Michael Murphy on last year during a fundraising period when we were pitching his movie, What in the World Are They Spraying? And that covered the contents of what is in the geoengineering chemicals themselves. And geoengineering is the process of either shooting rockets or using airplanes with aerosolized sprayers on the outside of the planes to fly in the upper atmosphere and release chemicals with aluminum, barium, silver nitrate, and barium salts, a whole cocktail of chemicals. And the whole point is to what most people in layman's terms know as cloud seeding. So they can, in 2 days advance of a front of some kind of a storm or a weather pattern, they can go up and spray the chemicals to sort of sow the seeds to get what the desired weather to happen. So they can either break up a hailstorm or steer a tornado or a hurricane by making a warm front, which would cause it to steer either north or south. They can disperse fog, increase precipitation, rain or snow. So they work with an oncoming front, you know, west to east, and can manipulate it to either break it up or encourage more. So sometimes you can actually hire private companies to do this. There's a company out of the Dakotas called Weather Modification, Inc., and you can go to their website at weathermodificationinc.com. There are many articles out there with being reported from, say, the UK Independent, the Independent, which is the British website and newspaper. The Telegraph has reported on it as well, Daily Telegraph. You can find articles. Type in Saudi Arabia rainstorms desert. That should probably bring up one where they used ionizing pylons in the middle of the desert to attract moisture into the air and cause rainfall. That's just one of the ways that you can do it.
So meanwhile, we're worried about, you know, cars coming in and, you know, greenhouse effect and all that. Meanwhile, private corporations, you're saying, can play God like
this?
Well,
it's even worse than that, because what do you see when you turn on Fox News and there is an oncoming weather front? They have a really dramatic graphic that's called extreme weather, and there's lightning in the background and hailstorms and tornadoes, and it's really graphic. And they just talk about it as if it's an act of God, when in reality, we have no idea when it is because of solar storms causing dramatic warm fronts, or if it's because someone has actually been manipulating the weather.
And a lot of these techniques involve very dangerous chemicals, right?
That's right. Like they are very dangerous chemicals. Barium and aluminum are not something that you want to be drinking, not something you want in your food, and definitely not something that you want your trees to be sucking up from the groundwater, because it causes pulpification of the core of the tree. So out in the West, in California, there has been a massive pulpifying of the core samples of these forests of these trees that are now, redwood trees, and I can't remember the name of the other tree that's sort of native to California, but there's these massive forests of very old, hundreds of years old trees, and they're all dying and turning to pulp on the inside. So they basically just snap at the trunk. They just fall over.
And while the government denies having any knowledge of this, in the film What in the World Are They Spraying?, which is available for free on YouTube,
right?
You can see all sorts of witnesses of experts who talk about the pollution that they have measured in their own communities, at lakes, for example, in California, which were pristine, fed by no other source than the rainwater. And then right after a spring and a rainstorm, they found high concentrations of dangerous substances.
Yes, 1,000% increase of barium off of Lake Shasta, for example. There's a certain parts per million. I think it's 60 parts per million of barium in the snow pack on top of Mount Shasta. They're supposed to be have a public warning to say that the water is not safe. And I think at the moment it's like 6,000 parts per million or something like that.
And it's a local issue too. It's been followed very closely by a group on Long Island run by Cindy Pakulis,
right,
called Long Island Skywatch. And she's been doing a fantastic job.
Yeah,
of reporting on it.
Yeah, we tried to get her on today, but her job didn't allow her the time to come on. We're going to try to schedule a time in the future to speak to her. But yeah, there's a lot of activists out there across the country and the world who are trying to get attention brought to this. And Michael Murphy is leading that front, and he's coming out with a sequel called Why in the World Are They Spraying? And it's all funded off of your donations and public funding. Crowdsource funding, basically, is what they call it.
He has a website, a trailer for the film, Why, if you put in Why in the World Are They Spraying?
Yeah, it'll definitely bring that up. You'll easily be able to find the trailer and easily bring you to the website where you can learn more and donate. I think they're asking for donations as small as $10, $15, $20.
There's like Cindy. He's basically a volunteer. People do this really important work, in spite of the fact that they're ignored often by the corporate media, mm-hmm. that the government just stonewalls them. They continue to do it, devote their own time, and I think they're to be commended for the effort they put in.
And it's a real issue. I mean, if everyone doesn't think that this is real, again, go into your search engine and type in China Olympics guarantees good weather. And you'll get several articles where the Minister of Weather of China is saying, we guarantee good weather for the Beijing Olympics. And they're using rockets with silver nitrate and aluminum oxide and barium salts. They just shoot the rockets up into the air and they just explode like it's a May Day parade or something. And it in advance, and it just clears out the smog and causes rain,
right,
to wash away all the dirt in the city. All the NATO countries in the world do it, they do it experimentally. Our U.S. code says that you're not allowed to experiment on the general population except for military purposes.
Which brings us into a whole other area.
Which makes us wonder, so is there a military application?
And of course, it's been used since the Vietnam War.
That's right, Operation Popeye, which is where they flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
And the U.S. military has been looking at it much more seriously in the last 20 years. So we caught up with Michael Murphy in a rainforest in Hawaii.
Right.
That's where he spoke to us by phone. And we're about to play the recording. And he's going to explore in his interview, which is about 17 minutes, some of the whys.
Right.
Regarding chemicals.
And this is from our YouTube channel, which you can find on YouTube by searching In Context Report, and you'll see a variety of our videos. So we have the Liberty News, and then we have another show that we do called The War Report, where Marchand brings all the recent developments in the wars around the world. We segment those so that, if you're interested in one or the other, you can easily find those bite-sized clips to digest. And we cover a variety of topics every week, so please subscribe to the channel and recommend it and share those videos, because if you're trying to educate people who find some of this information very difficult to understand, the way we do this show is that we try to break it down and use the mainstream sources so that you can easily understand where it's coming from, why it makes sense to you, why it's relevant.
All right, so we'll be back in about 17 minutes, and we will be taking your calls.
Yes, if you're interested in this. Yeah, we'll love to hear your thoughts on the video or other videos or other topics, and we'll also be covering a variety of other news.
Right. Okay, Michael Murphy, filmmaker.
Go ahead.
Welcome to In Context. This is Liberty News. My name is Ken McDermott Rowe.
And I'm Gus Cantavero. And today we're going to be speaking with activist and director Michael Murphy, director of the film What in the World Are They Spraying? And we've spoken to Michael Murphy before on our radio program, In Context, where you can find archive broadcasts at incontextreport.com. And we have Michael Murphy on the phone with us right now, and he is in the middle of a Hawaiian rainforest where he's working on his new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? Now, I know personally, I've spoken to a lot of people about the material contained in What in the World Are They Spraying? And the questions that almost everybody has is, yeah, but why would they do this? Okay, fine. Maybe there is weather modification programs going on. But why would they do this? Because we all live on the same planet. So, Michael, I'm going to ask you, why in the world are they spraying?
Why in the world are they spraying? Well, there are many different agendas associated with geoengineering programs, all of which consolidate an enormous amount of political and monetary power into the hands of the few. But based on our observations and talking to meteorologists and other professionals, we just interviewed Dr. Nick Begich about HARP. It appears that the number one agenda is weather control and putting aerosols into our sky in the way that geoengineers are not only proposing, but they're also doing, as we've illustrated in What in the World Are They Spraying, with very high levels of aluminum, barium, and strontium, all of which match geoengineers' plans and proposals and a number of geoengineering patents. Putting aerosol aluminum into our skies gives geoengineers the ability to actually heat up those particulates in our sky. And a heated atmosphere actually raises, and by doing that, it creates a vacuum and a low-pressure system, and it enables these criminals or these corporations to steer storms. But other aerosols, which are also being found in many rain tests, according to the scientists and meteorologists that I've spoken to, gives the ability of these corporations to change the way that clouds condense and change the way that they nucleate. So in doing so, they can actually build storms that, you know, are coming to fruition several deviations above what would be typically normal. And they can also diminish storms. So what they're doing is corporatizing natural systems, including our weather. And in doing so, again, it gives these people.
Hey, guys, SGT here with breaking news. Did ABC TV in Chicago post the Illinois GOP results from the primary 24 hours early?
Every living thing on the planet.
It's now 1:24 a.m. Central Standard Time, and I posted this at 11:30 Central Standard Time on SGT Report. So go there to see the full screen shots.
I was watching yesterday a clip of Roslyn Peterson.
So here goes. On the eve before the GOP Illinois primary, one must ask.
She was talking about some material
SGT
that she had come
have
across
affiliate WLS TV.
The free shipping lanes in the North Pole, Northern Alaska, and such, where they're able to use that area as shipping lanes and for oil exploration, and that Shell Oil has already gotten permits to commence drilling up there. So it actually behooves them to be able to artificially warm the area, because if that place were to refreeze, they would lose access to all the oil. So is this something that we can see being purposefully obfuscated to be kept below the surface so people don't quite understand the nefarious applications behind it, because it purely is about making money and other such controls?
Well, you're correct. It definitely is. And again, it's about the consolidation of power. Obtaining more oil into the hands of these criminals would allow them to have that power. Scott Stevens said, if you control the weather, you can control the world. And that statement is very true. I've consulted Rosalind many times about this issue, and we're going to interview her when I get back onto the mainland after my trip, and she will be an important part of the film. But there's no question, on many different levels, corporate and political agendas are achieved through disasters, specifically weather disasters. And again, weather is a very powerful not only weapon but tool in doing many things, not only militarization, but in terms of controlling our food supply.
Just to be clear, Michael, this is Ken. If a person observes the chemtrails in the sky, are they usually going to be associated then with some unusual weather event, or could the chemtrails be there for some other reason?
Oh, well, that's a great question. And what we've observed, and as well as Scott Stevens, again, he was a 20-year weatherman, he started noticing that about 500 to 1,000 miles ahead of a storm, very, very heavy trailing. And again, if you realize that the number one ingredient is aluminum oxide, and aluminum oxide is not a very effective conductor for, like, wire around your home, copper is, but copper is much heavier. Aluminum is very effective because of its lightweight and other properties in our sky. And in the past 30 years, our atmosphere is 30 times more conductive. Why is that? It's because they have this conductor in the sky. And again, through different technologies and through the HARP technology, which is an ionic heater, they have the ability to warm parts of our sky. And again, that creates that low pressure, gives them the ability not only to change jet streams, but also to design storms that can have an impact and also create drought in certain areas. And, of course, we see in drought conditions, Monsanto comes in after the farmer is devastated with their drought-resistant Terminator seeds. So it's literally many different things, but what they're doing is taking over the food supply, and Monsanto has a goal and an agenda, and that is to control everything and own everything that grows. Weather control enables them to do that. Our soils are also being contaminated, as we addressed in the first film, What in the World Are They Spraying? Monsanto has a stress-resistant seed that will grow not only in droughts and floods, but also in soils that are toxified. So what we're seeing, especially here on Maui, Maui's a beautiful place, but I've spoken to many organic farmers and many locals here. Everything is beginning to die. Things are starting to brown. The coconut trees are slowly dying around here. People are noticing it, and they're concerned that their freedom, their ability to live off of the land and grow natural organic foods is ending. And the concern for many people, including myself, is, again, this is a corporate agenda to make everybody dependent on the corporations.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you make a strong point there about Monsanto. And I would say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I definitely am enticed by the points that you're making. I would ask you to clarify, or maybe this is a teaser for some information that's coming out in the film soon, but are you saying that the corporations like Monsanto, who stand to gain commercially by weather modification, are potentially behind or at least taking advantage of the weather modification?
Well, I think they're in the club. You know,
okay.
The leaders at the very high level are in this club. They call them the elite. I call them many things, but you probably shouldn't say that on the radio.
Yeah, sure,
today.
Sure.
But they definitely benefit from it. And what we found, Bill Gates, and this is public record, is a funder into geoengineering research. He is pushing it. This is something he is
as well
very
as well as GMOs.
Well, he's a major investor in Monsanto. So, and we illustrated in our new trailer, Why in the World Are They Spraying? It can be seen on truthmediaproductions.us. Bill Gates, okay, so he's investing in toxifying our soils. He benefits with these new seeds that have the ability to grow. So it's the old Hegelian dialectic, the problem-reaction-solution, where we see these criminals who want to, and I think it goes past money. This is about power, and it's about control. It's about what every major religion talks about. We have this corporate governmental conglomerate, I call it the beast, that is genetically modifying natural systems, usurping that authority so that it comes under the authority of corporations, thus man. And geoengineer David Keith made a statement about a year and a half ago. He said geoengineering gives man godlike power. I think that's what he meant.
And if anybody doubts the agenda, I'd suggest you read William Engdahl's book, Seeds of Destruction. You might be familiar with that, where he traces the rise of agribusiness and how all of our food is essentially controlled by a handful of corporations, including Monsanto.
Right, right. Michael, one person I spoke to recently, I had sort of an online debate going on where we were talking about chemtrails, one of my videos that I had on YouTube or something. And he's a former FAA airline controller, and he's saying, look, I know about plane trails. I know about jet exhaust. Trails have been around forever. You know, what you're talking about, they're just contrails. You know, so I would show him, the documentation showing, the additives to the fuel, showing the geoengineer conferences where they're talking about this stuff and the weather modification and how it's been used over and over again for decades. And he said, yeah, I know weather modification's been around for decades. And I'm saying, well, that's what this is. Why are you acting like you don't believe? He's saying, no, but that's not the same thing. Chemtrails and weather modification are not the same thing. And I had to show him, piece of evidence after evidence, just documentation after documentation. This is the same thing. What could you say to address people who say that chemtrails, the population control agenda, the eugenics, it's not the same thing as weather modification?
I would have them watch my film where Scott Stevens, meteorologist, has been studying this. The trails, the aerosols, are absolutely required for these corporations to achieve their weather modification goal. No question about that. period. And there's a study, several studies, that indicate belief systems are stronger than fact. So if somebody has a real strong belief system that this is not happening, and it, you know, it's a hard thing to grasp, if especially for people who are new and have been essentially blessed and supported by this corporate system. However, once you look at fact and people let that guard down and look at the facts, not look at the belief system, but look at the facts on this, we have about a 95% success rate in terms of people supporting the work and coming to realize that this is not only a reality that we're in, but a crisis that needs to be addressed.
Michael, what about the military angle there? Is the military attempting to use the weather as a weapon? And could that be part of the chemtrails?
The military has for a very long time. And if you look back at the Vietnam War, there was a program called Project Popeye. And it was actually a cloud seeding operation where they used aerosol trails to seed clouds, and they affected the Ho Chi Minh Trail by flooding it out. And I think with 13 feet of rain in less than 1 hour. That was several years ago. And according to Dr. Nick Beggett, who we interviewed yesterday for the interview, he said that technology doubles now every 7 months. So with the people that we've interviewed, that was a small-scale operation. Military has a document called Owning the Weather by 2025. Weather is a force multiplier. I'm hearing feedback. I'm having a challenge articulating this. But this is stated goal and agenda by our military. And if you look at the words, owning the weather, not modifying,
right,
owning,
right,
complete control. And we believe that they're already there.
Yeah, I believe from my notes that that paper was published in 1996, so this has been going on for some time.
Can you, without question.
Michael, can you talk about your work now on this new film, what direction you're going in, some of the people you've been talking to?
Absolutely. I had mentioned we spoke with Dr. Nick Beggett, who is a HAARP expert, meteorologist Scott Stevens. Just an incredible man. He's been studying this for about 8 years very well, not only of the contamination, but the aspect of how these trails are required for weather control. Mark McCandlish, who is a former Air Force and worked in the defense. He was a defense contractor for a number of years, well aware of this issue. And then we've also interviewed Barbara Peterson, Farm Wars, who's aware of the destruction on farmland and the corporatization that's occurring. With this, we released the funding trailer about 10 days ago or 11 days ago. It's had a great response. We have over 40,000 hits on the video. And I believe this. The first film has been seen by over 10 million people, and it's been a very, very powerful tool to bring in to legislators and just create a general movement around the world. As a result, we have ordinances that are being formed around the world, one here in Maui, and that's one of the reasons that I'm here on the island. So we're working tirelessly to get these programs stopped, and I really believe addressing the weather control aspect is not only the next crucial step in terms of waking up even more people, but also moving closer to holding the government and corporations behind these programs accountable, because people are becoming aware that there's corruption in our governments and corporations. We're illustrating that and the connection between Monsanto. So I hope every listener will go and see that video. And the first film we funded entirely by donations and pre-orders. We're working on a shoestring budget, but as a result, we were able to reach over 10 million people, and I believe this film will be even more powerful. So please get involved, pre-order. That will make this film a reality. It will give you a tool to bring in legislators and even bring out in the street, like, why in the world are they spraying? And this film's also going to be available for free, so we'll be serving humanity. You can go to whyangels.info for more information, whyangels.info, and you can also see the trailer. Please pass it along. We need your support. Can't do it without you. We will do the work, and we'll get a DVD out to you pre-order.
It's really important that the listeners and the viewers out there watching on YouTube get out there and support your efforts, because, you know, as you said, you make the film available for free, you allow duplication, you make your research available, and you do this, like you said, on a shoestring budget, supported by the activist community. And that's because there isn't going to be a big budget corporate grant for something like what Michael Murphy is doing and trying to achieve here with independent research, because you're basically going after the corporations and the governments who stand to gain by seizing control of the natural forces. So, you know, if someone tries to go after Monsanto, they end up, with lawsuits slapped on them to try to shut them up. So what you're doing, Michael Murphy, is very brave. I salute you. I support you as much as I can, as well as Ken does as well.
Thank you very much for joining us, Michael.
We really appreciate your work, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Oh, guys, thank you so much, and God bless you for addressing this. And thank you.
All right, and we'll be sure to have you back on when the film is done.
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, looking forward to it.
Bye-bye, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good afternoon. If you just joined us, you're listening to In Context on WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming at WPKN.org. Name of our show, In Context. We're WPKN's live public affairs call-in show. My name is Ken McDermott Rowe. I'm here with my fellow host, Gus Cantavero, and our military affairs commentator, Marshawn McDermott Rowe. And you were just listening to an interview that we recently recorded with filmmaker Michael Murphy on chemtrails, and he was discussing specifically his new movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying?, which, as he spoke to us, he was in the process of filming it in Hawaii. He was speaking to us from a Hawaiian rainforest. And I want to mention, we had a call from a listener who wanted to bring to our attention that there is going to be a presentation on climate change, not chemtrails in particular, but climate change in general, from the Climate Reality Project. That's climaterealityproject.org. And the presentation will take place this Saturday, March 24th, at 10:30 in the morning at Nichols Library in Trumbull, Connecticut. And the presenter will be Dr. Peter Libre, and he will be talking about the climate crisis. So if you want more information about that presentation, this Saturday morning, 10:30, Trumbull Library, the Nichols Library in Trumbull, go to climaterealityproject.org. And that library is located 1814 Huntington Farm Turnpike in Trumbull. And it's interesting, it'd be interesting if any people who went to that meeting would raise this question of chemtrails and weather modification. And the presenter may have given it some thought, since President Obama's science advisor, John Holdren, said in an interview in The Guardian that geoengineering, that's weather modification, has to be looked at tackling climate change. And the question is then, would the government, if they started manipulating the weather to deal with climate change, going to create another environmental problem?
Or actually, I mean, it's speculation that weather modification is a response to climate change. It could just be that weather modification is a response to just creating climates that are more friendly, or they are just to be manipulated for a different purpose. I mean, it could be used for military purposes to block other countries' surveillance technologies.
Well, we discussed in the interview with Michael Murphy that our government put out weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025. So it could be it doesn't have anything to do with climate
change. It really
is.
I mean, the ultimate tactical advantage, because one of the things Mao discussed in his principles on guerrilla warfare, which, you know, for a genocidal maniac, he was a tactical genius. One of the things he talked about was establishing a safe zone to recruit and train in. And if you can manipulate the weather, I mean, play God in essence, and deprive guerrillas of food, you know, which the way most guerrilla armies survive is they're fed off the land. They don't have long supply trains like we do. Mm-hmm. So they're fed by the populace. And if the populace is starving, they can't feed the gorillas.
And that's specifically considered in this Pentagon paper on weather control. If you'd like to give us a call, we can open the phone lines now. We're at 356? Got it in front of you?
I don't have the paper.
I don't.
Wait a second.
336.
336. Hold on.
336-9756.
Yeah, I should have it right in front of me. That's correct. Let me give you that to you once. 203-336. 3366-9756.
I say it every week. I can't remember.
3366-9756. And you can talk about the chemtrails issue. You could talk about other issues that we'll touch as we go along in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had brought up the military aspect of it. Go ahead, Gus.
Oh, I just wanted to draw a couple of comparisons. Or what's that?
Oh,
what'd you say?
Phone call.
Oh, go ahead and answer it. If people don't think that this is going on or hasn't been going on for a long time, or you think it's a new thing, look up Ben Livingston. He's known as the father of modern weather weapons. And he was actually flying solo airplane flights into the middle of hurricanes in the 60s, where he was releasing chemicals and clouds into these hurricanes to steer them, to dissipate them, to make them more powerful, to move them so that they wouldn't hit population centers or potentially steer them into population centers. I mean, think of the power of being able to control a natural force like a hurricane, where we could actually steer it into the capital of an enemy of ours. And, you know, that raises a lot of questions about Katrina and the very peculiar behavior of that hurricane, where it was slowing down and then all of a sudden it sped up and turned into Louisiana. So, I mean, if we've had this ability to steer hurricanes since the 60s, I really wonder what we're using
Michael Murphy's a big part of his investigation is to get the government to disclose what's going on.
And we don't know. It's not a public
record. And that's the key. There should be public disclosure.
Yeah, universities do it. The Air Force is doing it. We have no idea why.
Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. This is Bill from Trumbull. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the air with WPKN.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to say I was sitting on the beach a couple summers ago down in Myrtle Beach. And it was a Sunday morning. And I remember the morning started out very sunny. But there was these jets very, very high up in the sky,
mm-hmm.
Probably many miles. And they were laying down what, I guess you could ostensibly say were contrails.
Mm-hmm.
But the contrails didn't dissipate. They expanded.
Right. They stay around for hours and turn into cloud cover.
Yeah.
That's the key, isn't it? Isn't it, Bill and Gus? They don't dissipate, and so they're not normal contrails, which are water vapors.
But they're also in, like, patterns. You know, there's, like, cross-hatching, there's X's. I saw last week an asterisk. You know, like, that's three trails all trisecting each other. Like, that seems very, very strangely convenient, you know? The X's all across the sky where one line goes across, and then you'll have, like, six perpendicular lines go across that one line. It just seems like why is this can't just be normal traffic patterns, you know? Like, is everything designed like this? This seems so strange.
You know, I think it's almost a test of credibility that the government calls it contrails and denies it. That, mm-hmm. That's almost a test of credibility for any theory. As long as the government denies it, it's probably true.
Bill, are any of your friends discussing chemtrails? Was your first thought this is strange?
A couple, not too many. Most people that I talk to, they're not interested. You know, they mm-hmm. get their lives to lead and
yeah.
all that kind of thing. You know, I don't know. I've been blessed or cursed to be able to
sure.
know these kind of things. But you know, about 20 years ago, I saw that cross hatching that you're talking about over Waterbury.
Yeah,
it looked like a tic tac toe board, just with a couple extra lines.
Yeah.
Through it going perpendicular.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that 20 years ago. So this isn't a new phenomenon. This has been going on.
That's right.
But as I'm trying to document, it's been going on since the 60s. Just it slowly works its way out. And it all depends on what states want to take it up and what universities want to practice with it. You know, it's happened out west first, California and Texas and the Midwest. And then it's gone eastward. Other states have picked it up. And now other countries have picked it up. Canada and Mexico, they all have their own programs that they do.
And Cindy Pakulis has been measuring the pollution in Long Island.
She has. She's actually gotten hair samples and blood samples and pulp samples from trees to Marshawn just handed me a paper that says Russian ship and Marines have landed in Tartus, Syria, as reported by Debka.
That was just broke on their ticker tape, breaking news.
Well, we'll we're going to follow that story certainly in our war report next week. But, Bill, it has been measured locally, as
right.
Gus was saying.
Yeah, and they brought it to their county environmental commission, and they tried to get a resolution passed to say no geoengineering atmospheric trails over Nassau County without public approval. And it got all the way to the county vote and failed to pass because of some caveats in the law where they would be infringing on perhaps other counties spraying because it would drift over. But they are going to revise that law. They're going to relook at it, and they're going to revisit it. And I think what they're dealing with right now is that they just had a new commissioner elected. So they are trying to get a meeting with her, but she's refusing to meet with
them. It's very interesting, Bill, the intransigence of our government officials in discussing this. In the movie, which you can see for free, What in the World Are They Spraying? Online, Michael Murphy goes around the halls of Congress, and he buttonholes these congressmen. He says, well, what about the chemtrails? Here's a report of it, blah, 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 blah. And the congressmen just run away from him. They say, I don't know. Not interested.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Goodbye. Dennis Kucinich introduced a bill regarding it, and then he was forced to withdraw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's one of those few voices that's willing to speak out on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, what's strange is maybe 2 or 3 weeks after I, watched those jets that Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
I had a really strange conversation with this guy on the beach. Now, where I used to sit was near an airport, and where what used to be the Air Force base there. It isn't an Air Force base anymore. But the guy, he was there with his family, ostensibly, and he started the conversation out by telling me how he used to work for, he used to be a bug killer for the Defense Department. And I don't think he meant, like, an exterminator?
Yeah.
yeah. And he had some really leading things that mm-hmm. I think I was being tested or something like that. It was just a really strange conversation. I've right. never had a conversation like that before.
Right.
And I'm not paranoid.
Really. No.
This actually happened, so.
I believe you.
So, I don't know. There's some really strange stuff going on out there.
Right. Well, we thank you very much for the call.
Thanks very much, Bill.
And again, there's a continuity of agenda that goes on here from administration to administration. People always try to play partisan and say, oh, well, that's the Republicans, that's the Democrats or whatever. Under Bill Clinton, or I'm sorry, under George Bush, the science advisor was Paul Ehrlich. Under Obama, it's John P. Holdren. John P. Holdren has been very vocal about weather modification and geoengineering. Paul Ehrlich, what's the connection? Well, the two of them wrote a gigantic tome called Earth Science, where they talked about overpopulation, back then global cooling. Now, obviously, it's morphed into global warming as the trends just jump back and forth. But one of the things that they advocated was geoengineering and via rockets or aerosolized trails from airplanes. And they said that this is something that we're probably going to have to do at some point because of overpopulation and pollution. We're going to have to start to control the climate. And what we're going to have to do is spray silver nitrate, silver oxide and aluminum oxide and barium salts in the atmosphere so that it reflects the sun and keeps the greenhouse effect going so it warms the planet.
And these things can have very adverse health effects.
Very much so, yeah.
Have bad effect on the fertility
cancer,
of soil.
Yeah.
The thing I worry about personally is that granted the bad health effects and everything, but I think one thing the American people have to realize is that, okay, yeah, it's great when we're doing it to third world countries and, Starvation in Africa gives Angelina Jolie nothing but, great material for YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have the technology to do this, what's to say our enemies won't eventually do it to us? To war with the Chinese or the Russians. Let's say, they mobilize our air force. Instead of bombing us, they literally just, let's say, make it so it doesn't rain here anymore. So then we have droughts and the price of oranges skyrocket, let alone, if we had severe droughts.
Or if it gets too cold in the South during the wintertime, like happened 2 years ago, the winter was freezing and all the oranges froze and died.
Exactly. Get floods in the farming lands around, Ohio and the Indiana and regions like that.
Yeah.
You could see mass starvation here. So this is dangerous, not only because we have it, but because if we have it, So do our enemies. And if we start using it, then the gloves are off. Our enemies can use it on us.
And like the other issues we talk about on In Context, these aren't left-right issues. It's not a Republican versus Democrat. It's basically about the public has a right to know. We feel that the public should be making the decisions here, not some group of guys behind closed doors who are plugged into some large corporation who's probably going to benefit from the program.
Like David Keith, who was one of the climatologists who was shown in the movie What in the World Are They Spraying? And, you know, he's saying that aerosol spraying is so cheap that the cost is not even an issue. And then he went on to say that the health effects from aluminum haven't even been evaluated, but they're still going to experiment with them. And they experiment on the general population. So they experiment. It's been going on. It is going on. When you read these papers and they say we're probably going to have to do this, it's because they know it works.
Right.
And they're doing it, not because they are just gearing up to practice. They don't do anything and roll it out in the public until they know it works. And it's already been going on for a long time. You know. Yeah, go ahead.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to In Context on WPKN 89.5 FM, streaming at WPKN.org, and we're taking your calls at 203-336-9756. That's 203-336-9756. We'll only be on for about another 12 minutes. So if you want to give us a ring and let us know what you think on chemtrails or any other subject that you're really interested in right now, give us a call to that number. We are on Mondays from noon until 1 p.m., a part of PKN's weekday public affairs block from noon to 1 p.m. We're on every Monday except the first Monday of the month. You know, one of the issues that I wanted to mention today, because it's far from the field from chemtrails, is this massacre that took a place in Afghanistan. The facts are that right now a staff sergeant named Robert Bales is accused of really a slaughter of at least 16 Afghan civilians, including children, in Kandahar on the 11th of March. And this morning's New York Times has a large story on Robert Bales, Sergeant Bales, giving reasons why he may have snapped. But in contrast to the way the Army is handling it, local Afghan leaders say that the attack was a retaliation by a group of U.S. soldiers against a deadly attack on U.S. troops in Kandahar earlier. And following that blast, according to this is from an article, this is a Press TV, the American forces summoned the local Afghans and tribal leaders and vowed bloody revenge on their children and wives. This is what the local Afghan tribal leaders are complaining. Meanwhile, the U.S. military is saying Robert Bales pretty much was a loose cannon who went crazy.
One of the things I find kind of funny, I mean, it's farcical if it wasn't tragic, is the fact that when Major Hassan Nadal went, supposedly, some say, oh, he's Al-Qaeda inspired. Another one,
Fort Hood
shooter, said he didn't want to deploy to Afghanistan. He'd heard all these horror stories, didn't want to go, so he shot a bunch of U.S. soldiers.
This is the psychiatrist.
Now, almost
who is self-medicating with antidepressants.
Exactly, self-medicating with antidepressants. As soon as the shooting occurred, it came out he was Muslim, of Palestinian descent. His parents were Jordanian citizens. Immediately. Meanwhile, this incident occurs in Afghanistan, but because it happened to Afghans, suddenly, oh, well, we don't really know. Well, maybe it was one guy. It was just one guy. And there's a history of this. There is a history of group punishment and a history of blaming one person. I'm going to cite really two big incidences, and these are all open source. You can look it up for yourself. There was the massacre in Haditha during the war in Iraq, which is nominally still going on, but be that as it may, when a Marine Corps convoy was blown up by an IED. One of the vehicles, that's improvised explosive device, one of the vehicles was blown up. Several of the Marines were killed. Well, the Marines went out for retaliation and killed somewhere in the ballpark of 16 unarmed Iraqi civilians. And the only reason why it became so public so quickly is the fact that Iraq is a modern country and people have cell phones and cell phone cameras. As soon as the massacre occurred, Iraqis were uploading the videos to YouTube, and the military tried to say, oh, it was an accident. It was friendly fire. And, the government's like, oh, it was an accident. We didn't mean to. Friendly fire. Happens all the time. And the Iraqis said, no, there was intent to go and kill these innocent people. And sure enough, criminal investigation, because the military, the cover-up is, I believe personally, mostly occurs on the civilian side. The guys in the military who are investigating it are good-hearted, honest people. And this criminal investigation division went in and said, no, these Marines acted outside the rules of engagement. They went and murdered innocent civilians.
Now, Ken, what was the story you were telling me yesterday, the parallel in Vietnam?
The My Lai massacre in 1968, a group of U.S. Army soldiers killed an estimated up to 504 unarmed civilians in South Vietnam, March 16, 1968. And some of the bodies were later found mutilated.
And who investigated it?
It was investigated originally. One of the observers reported up the chain of command. The general tasked a young major named Colin Powell to look into
it. That's a familiar name.
And Colin Powell, which I think is very instructive as to his character, whitewashed it. Uh-huh. He basically said there was nothing going on. But the story wouldn't go away. Seymour Hersh won a Pulitzer Prize writing about the My Lai massacre. But although 26 soldiers were charged, only one guy was convicted, the lieutenant.
Lieutenant Calley.
William Calley,
you know,
a platoon leader.
Colin Powell must have gotten a reputation of being a mouthpiece, because after doing that, what was he tasked by George Bush to do? He went up in front of the UN and he sold the WMDs to the UN.
He told us a pack of lies to get us involved into that war.
So people sometimes characterize him as an honest guy who just was misled.
Well, I think My Lai told it all.
I don't think so. He seems to have a past of perpetual lying.
But I think My Lai demonstrates something. You know, it's a top-down phenomena where, you know, there were honest soldiers who reported what had happened. There was actually a case where a helicopter flying overhead saw these fleeing Vietnamese civilians and American troops chasing them. The pilots landed. They got out there with their M16s, and they said, you know, told the soldiers, back off or we'll shoot. And they saved the lives of somewhere like 20 civilians. So there are guys on the ground who are honest, but it's when you get to get up, you know, and the guys who rise are clearly like Colin Powell, these dishonest fellows. I can't use more vulgar language on air.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know,
he's a careerist.
But what's interesting, I think, is that especially in Vietnam, now, it probably won't come out how institutionalized this policy is until after the Afghan War. But in Vietnam, we know this was an institutionalized policy of mass killings, retaliation against the Viet Cong, trying to break the back of the Viet Cong
Operation
support.
Phoenix.
Okay,
but,
now we can't go down the road of just bashing troops, though. We have to talk about what's causing this environment of corruption.
That's right, guys, because we have a great respect for the U.S. soldiers.
Yeah, so we need to make
that clear.
And especially because we're running out of time, so I want to make sure that we get to why this is happening. So can we talk about the PTSD, the redeployments after redeployments? How many times did
this guy's a fourth deployment to Afghanistan, a three to Iraq. He'd been badly injured. He'd lost part of a foot, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He'd had a concussion. Why the heck he was sent back into combat?
And he had already said, I don't want to go back. And they were told him, you won't go back for another deployment. And then he was sent back to Afghanistan. So he was already angry and bitter. And I don't understand why someone with this personality would be thrust into a position that he outrightly did not want to be in and had already served time in.
Well, which is why I think he makes the perfect patsy, to be honest.
Okay, so I was thinking when I first saw this, Ken and I were talking yesterday, I said this probably was done by a group and he was either volunteered or nominated to be the fall guy.
Exactly, because, I mean, that's one thing you saw with My Lai is they blame it on this lieutenant. And soldiers, you know, I mean, we all support the troops. The soldiers are good guys. They follow orders, which is what a soldier is supposed to do. And often when these things occur, it's not because of corruption amongst the troops. It's corruption from above. Why did Abu Ghraib happen? It happened not because of the troops. It happened because of something.
It's a culture of corruption.
A culture of corruption at the top. And so, but you have to pick a patsy.
You have George Bush issuing terror orders, and then Dick Cheney saying that it's not torture. And then you have, you know, the lawyers for the White House. What was the guy's name? Yoon? The memos?
The John
Yoo memos? Yeah, yeah. And you actually have a culture of corruption where they justify it and then dignify it. And then you have Obama come in and say he's going to end it. And he says, well, you know what? It's actually pretty important. So we're just going to rename it, and we're going to limit it to these very few things that aren't that bad. But it turns out they suck, too. No one wants to be tortured. And,
exactly.
And they run around in these wars that no one wants to be in. We're not wanted. We're not welcomed. They're threatening us with beheadings now. We're burning their Bibles with the Quran burnings.
Isn't that an accident. That's the key. But we should.
What the hell are we doing?
We should not be in these wars. These young men and women should not be exposed to situations where they might commit a crime like this,
mm-hmm.
or whether they're going to get hurt, and tens of thousands of them have been maimed and killed in these stupid wars. We shouldn't be there. It's being done by oil companies and by the military industrial complex. It's costing us a fortune.
Our quality of life here is suffering because we're fighting an ill-advised war that's leading us down a rabbit hole of insanity. We're creating terrorists by the day. If you think that we're actually rooting out the cause of terrorism that led to the terrible attacks of 9/11, then you have your head someplace.
Well, right? You're listening to too much network TV.
You know, there's no way we're going to fix the problem that we set out to do.
And we need a debate on this. We've got a presidential election this year, and we need a debate on the war. We needed on it last time, and
now is who can agree to bomb Iran the fastest.
Yeah, and what's happening in the Republican debates? Ron Paul gets up there and says we shouldn't be involved in these wars, and then everybody else says, "Oh, Ron Paul, his weakness is foreign policy."
Yeah,
he's the only one saying we shouldn't be there. Everyone else just takes it as a fait accompli that we have to be there because of some magnanimous good deeds that we're doing, but no one can name a single thing that we're doing. And I know if you're a soldier listening right now and you've been over there and you've done good jobs and you've brought fresh water to a village and you're probably upset at me right now, I acknowledge that you've done good things and I thank you that you helped good people, but you have to recognize that the overarching will of this war is serving the corporations. It's all about Halliburton getting the payouts to do your laundry and run empty truckloads across the country to get double time.
Afghanistan was about the pipeline.
And I think the greatest crime is that these, fine young men and women, fighting and dying because they love their country. Honest, good-hearted, probably the best of our nation.
They're not defending us. They're not actually defending us.
Their idealism is being misused by very cynical, greedy leaders.
They're being used and abused. And you see that with how Halliburton, when they were in Iraq, wouldn't even properly filter the water. I saw an expose on it from the BBC, and they went into the water filtration plants, and they saw that most of the water that these Marines and soldiers and airmen and sailors were bathing in was untreated. It was dirty. It had this vile bacteria.
Probably like depleted uranium leaking through into the groundwater.
Gosh. Yeah. And so, like I said, the finest of our nation, because these are some of the finest human beings in our country. I've had the pleasure to know many of them. They're some of the finest people. Are being abused for the sake of profit of some private corporation.
Yeah, guys, your sperm is being mutated by the depleted uranium shells that you're not even being told that you're firing. You get a box of shells and you don't even know that it's depleted uranium because they've taken the warnings off of the crates. All right, so you're getting them and you're going to come back and your children could have disorders, okay? And you're not going to get health care for them because they're going to deny that it's from that. All right, they're stealing your death benefits. You guys, you got to just stand down.
We got to get control of this government again, and we say many times, it's not a left-right issue. It's just you and me, the ordinary people, against the large corporate interests that run this government for their own benefit.
Yeah.
And so we got to get control. And we're going to talk about the war in much more detail next week when we do our monthly end war report, where Marshawn will rely on him for some important commentary and news that you're not going to be getting in the corporate media about the war. And Gus, did you want to say something about our website or our YouTube videos?
Yeah, well, visit us on the web at incontextreport.com. Find us on Facebook. You can search In Context Report. And most importantly, visit the YouTube channel. You can search In Context Report on YouTube and find a variety of our videos. We do the War Report and the Liberty News, two different episodes. Just about every week we have a new episode up. And, we cover a variety of issues. We show the sources, the news articles. So subscribe to the channel, share the videos. It's a great way to educate other people.
And stay tuned to WPKN. Coming up, I believe, is Rick Petrone. There he is,
ready
to come in and take over. So stay tuned, WPKN, 89.5 FM. See you next week.
See you guys.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Remember,
stay
we're still safe. A democracy.
Maybe.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Pull their red, white,